Hey guys, this is Andrew from Things I Want to Know. If you like the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating. Don't really know why this is important, but it is, so let's get the voice out. Also, don't forget to check out the podcast Paul G's Corner, a podcast where everyone gets a voice.
So, once again, I have changed my mind. That's the world I live in. It's what I do. Welcome to Paul G. Newton on Everything. So, in the past, I've just kind of rambled on about just mostly bullshit. You know, I didn't care. I just said whatever I wanted to say about whatever I thought was important at the time, which was generally something that wasn't important. But from now on, the new format, I'm going to have somebody with me the whole time. And we're going to, because not everybody's schedule is flexible like mine, because, you know, I'm flexible like that. Anyway, because my schedule is not as flexible as, or more flexible than everybody else's, I'm just going to host it, and I'm going to have a hot chick, a witch, and a dude going to rotate in and out of my podcast. So, Stephanie, is it fair to say that you're a witch?
Yes.
Remember to talk into the microphone.
Yes, it is fair to say I am a witch.
Are you a certified witch? Do they give out like degrees?
No.
You don't go to school?
No, you can, if you want to belong to a coven, which, you know, it's got its drawbacks, it's got its pros and cons, but something for another time. I'm what a lot of people call an eclectic witch. I draw from all different practices, whether it be hoodoo or, whatever, you know, that is out there, Celtic magic, you know, I mean, Wicca, has got some good stuff out there. I don't, but Wicca is still a religion. I tend to stay away from the religious aspects, which I definitely feel are man-made.
Really? Man-made. So the religious aspects are man-made. So, but the question I have, after you hearing that, is I want to know, you say the religious aspects are man-made, but isn't everything man-made? It's an interpretation of whatever mystical thing it is.
Well, there's politics when you start dealing with dogma and religion, for the most part. Let's keep the politics out of it.
Yeah.
When you start living,
I mean, we can bitch about politics. Let's go Brandon, I think, at this point. So anyway, yeah. Moving on.
But I mean,
gas is high.
But the point is that all religions, whether they mean to or not, always end up being very political, within that organizations. It's a, you know, inside
job. Well, Christianity used to rule the world, and then Muhammad used to rule the world when Christianity didn't. So, yeah, it makes sense to me.
I'm not, you know, dogma's fine, and you can have your own personal beliefs, but it seems like when you start becoming organized, you always have those people who say, oh, you can't do that because of this and this and this. Well, then you start looking into this and this and this, and you're looking at, well, that wasn't even their original idea, and they're a man, and they didn't say what god they got this from, because you will find that most witches are pagan for the most part, and we believe in more than one god or goddess.
Northern European, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the Northern European sect, right?
Well, no, I mean, witchcraft is as old as man is.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you really think about it, if you go to the Torah, which is the Torah and then the Egyptians. If you want to go
farther back than that.
There's no writings unless you start going
to Sumerians.
Asia.
The Sumerians are older than the Egyptians and the Jews. The Jews actually
Greek
come from
and stuff like that, but it's not really religion based. It was more like what the hell are
they
we
are
doing?
All, I don't know what this they is. All are they're all religious based. If you take a look at any ancient society, they are all religious based. They have a pantheon of gods. Look at the Assyrians or Sumerians. Always get those two. They kind of interlink anyway. The Sumerians are started with cuneiform writing. Okay, this is the oldest writing on the earth that we can.
Sumerians is before Greek?
Yeah.
Huh? In Latin?
Yes. Yep.
It's Greek to Latin, or is it Latin to Greek? I can't remember.
It is Latin than Greek.
Yes. Yeah, so this is where we need Monsieur Donald.
I mean, a lot of this I know, but I need a really good timeline to kind of like.
Yeah. We're not here to talk about history and stuff like that. So,
but if you take a look at any primitive society, and I'm going to say primitive, but it's not really primitive because some of the stuff that they had was just phenomenal, especially their buildings. But if you go back and you look at the ancient societies, all of them were based off religion in one way or another, their laws, their customs, you know, et cetera, were all based on religion.
Some kind of religion.
Right.
Some basic, you know, Zeus, you know, throw a lightning bolt up your ass, Zeus.
Exactly.
That's a religion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So this one, though, is Northern European, more for the most part, right?
Well, actually, tarot has got, okay. The tarot, we do know that the cards themselves originated in Italy as a card game.
Okay.
They originated
in Italy?
In Italy, as a card game.
As a card game?
As a card game.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yes. And then at some point in time, someone did something. But then you have others who say, no, they're more ancient than that, and that they're actually Egyptian. Now, that could actually be the case. And I say that because we have lost so much of the Egyptian history, the Egyptian temple, what happened in the temples. Most of that, for the most part, is very much unknown. We don't know the rituals because they were kept secret.
Yeah. Well, and the Egyptians, we lost the Library of Alexandretta.
Or Alexandria.
It burned down and had all that stuff in it, and that was the only place it existed.
Exactly. And so you have all the stuff that we have lost because of man's greed. I guess greed would be the, you know, lust of power, whatever.
Well, and it's accumulation of crap.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and it was always, you know, my God's better than your God. I personally believe that we all come from one, there's only one pantheon of gods, and each society renamed the pantheon. And if you take a look at the different gods in different societies, they're very similar to each other. You know, you can find pairings.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the blending of, you know, like the popes, they felt that if they blended in like a Christmas tree, I mean, that's the biggest one we all know about.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, that is where they actually, you know, took over pagan ideas and traditions to help assimilate the pagans out there. And, you know, pagan, in all actuality, is a very derogative term. But, however, we have actually lost, in many cases, the actual name of the people or what their religion was called at the time. So pagan is really a umbrella term for anybody different than a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim, or okay. An Islam, or so somebody, whatever we call them.
Your thing, though, mostly is tarot cards.
Well, tarot cards and spells, and, you know.
Have you ever actually been able to cast a spell that worked?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty much, I'm open to the idea, but I'm not a believer.
Well, okay, know? First of all, you know, you always go online and, you know, you see these websites that I will cast a spell for you. Yeah, crap.
If that worked, everybody would be hitting the lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
Or marrying Brad Pitt. There'd be a line.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there is a line, but yeah. That's different.
But here's the deal. Well, I don't think everybody wants to marry Brad Pitt.
At one point in time, they might not have minded. You know?
Well, they may want to date him.
Maybe I didn't want to marry Brad Pitt, but, you know, it depends on how much money flows my way. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, that's true. always just saw him too much of a pretty boy. I mean, I always liked Brad Pitt. Don't get me wrong. Would I have liked to have dated him? No, not really, because they'd be looking more at him than me. So I was like,
if you don't want to be looked at, then that might be a plus.
Well, yeah. I mean, but then, I mean, could you imagine going in there, you know, on a date with Brad Pitt and then all these girls, you know, are like falling to their knees in front of him? And
well, I couldn't, because I'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Let me get your name and number. I'll introduce you later.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't be that nice.
Because, no, that's not being nice.
No.
That's just being playa.
But, you know, so here's the deal. You've got, in my experience, and if you ever talk to someone who's actually practicing and really takes this seriously, which I take my craft seriously.
Okay.
They will tell you it is your intent that you put into your energy, into the spell that you have created, or even if you have borrowed a spell or someone has given you a spell to use, you still have to do the intent. You have to put in the energy.
Okay.
Into this, and then you have to release that energy. Now, before people saying, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, here's a good example. People always say, oh, we share energy, and then of course scientific community said, oh no, that's bullshit. Well, until they actually did discover and had the right equipment that shows that people do exchange energy.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.
Okay, I'm not a nuclear furnace, and this is not the Matrix.
I'm just saying.
You can't hook me up to a giant battery.
No, but you can.
I could look like a giant battery.
But you can exchange. Okay, has there ever been a person in the room?
I'm just trying to be honorary. You know this.
Oh, I know. Okay, so let's say you're
having. Stephanie, first off, let's let everybody know. How long have we known each other?
Oh, my God, too long.
Almost 20 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been friends for a while.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion before.
Yes, we have.
And she knows exactly what I'm going to do whenever I've got, you know, the wild hair going on. I'm going to give her hell, and she's going to be like, shut up, I'm trying to finish.
Or worse.
Yeah, well, no, you've never done anything worse. No, you haven't. you could cuss, it doesn't matter. She's told me to fuck off before.
Yeah, I have. I've told him to fuck off many times. And then I laugh.
Yeah, once I got divorced, we had some interesting conversations, but it's like, if you know us, you know there's nothing like that going on. But those conversations never happened when I was married.
No,
that was really strange.
Yeah.
Actually. And I'm like, no. And she's like, what the hell are you even thinking? There's absolutely no way.
Like, there is no way. Yeah. No way in Hades. No way in Hades.
Well, or hell, either
you're,
way.
You're my friend. I mean, you know, we have a special bond, but it is friendship. It is not anything. And
it's
why
not
people.
Gorilla glue or that weird black tape. It's just more like, you know, wood glue with some.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's you know. It's this thing, okay, well, in what you're bringing up is a societal thing anyway, because two people are of the opposite sex and they're good friends,
yeah,
and they can finish each other's sentences or whatever, they got to be fucking. No, I'm sorry, that is not, that's just not it.
I mean, I don't even want a hand job, so we're
okay. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I'm not going to give you one either.
See, this is what will make people want to actually listen. Because it's full of shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm not giving you a fucking hand job.
You know what? That's fine. I'm good at that. And my feelings are not hurt. In fact, my day is a little brighter since hearing that.
Good. And mine is a lot brighter since you're saying, okay, I agree. So.
Please no.
But no, I mean, what we're bringing up though is you're bringing up another thing, you know, where the, some of the politics and the dogma and the stuff like that, when you come into religion and stuff, oh, you know, a man and a woman cannot be friends and be platonic friends and be good friends. They've got to have something going on. No, no,
it's just people, man. Just be open to about people. But the energy to put in for a spell is what makes it work.
Yeah. To me. Yes. It's not the, you know, you can have herbs, you can have crystals, you can have this, you can have that.
Crystal meth, you can have that too.
I wouldn't advise it, but...
I mean, that's a lot of energy being expelled if you're doing a spell on crystal meth.
We're not going there.
Come on! All right.
You know, some people try to do it high, and then they say, I can't do this high. Okay, whatever.
But cocaine, that's okay. What? Just don't go overboard.
Yeah.
Crystal meth, you're ingesting, oh God, brake fluid and starter
God only
cleaner.
Knows what. Only, God only knows what you're ingesting.
Don't take
there.
That stuff. No. If you're listening to this podcast, we're making fun of it, making light of it, but don't take that stuff.
No, don't.
And you can't even trust cocaine anymore either. I mean, you can't do
any
of that.
Well, no, they got fentanyl and everything.
Yeah. You get fentanyl. I mean, why would you put fentanyl in cocaine? Fentanyl's a downer. Cocaine's an upper. You're just going to give people heart attacks.
The only thing I can come up with is that they're cutting it. This is their fentanyl. New cut. And it's like... You know, what happened to the days when you take vitamin C or, you know, something like that, that was dissolvable in water to mix that stuff with?
I guess they don't really care about repeat customers because they're all going to die.
Yeah, I guess
John
not.
John Belushi, how many people do we have to go? You know, Janis Joplin, John Belushi. What was the other guy? Jimi Hendrix.
Well, Heath Ledger died because of a drug overdose.
They're all taking speedballs.
Well, but his were all prescription, and he just happened to take the wrong combination.
But it's really,
you know,
just all speedballs. I mean, yeah. you take a speedball in the back in the day was what? Heroin and cocaine?
Oh, I have no idea. You got more information on this than I do.
Oh, I just pay attention.
Oh, okay.
But yes, a speedball, you hit heroin and cocaine at the same time, it will cause your heart to stop.
Yeah, I
don't do that.
Yeah, don't do the stupid. It's stupid.
One or the other, and don't go overboard. Jeez.
You know, if you
don't
take
fentanyl or heroin though, because that stuff's just super addictive.
Well, my nephew just actually died from a heroin overdose that they believed had fentanyl in it. So,
jeez.
And that was this year actually. So,
fentanyl is bad shit, man.
Yeah, and I mean, he is literally, his heart exploded.
They use that for really, really, really sick people that they have to put under, basically.
Exactly.
And don't touch that stuff. But anyway, so the cards is really what I was most interested in. So I've played around with cards, goofing off, playing with these cards and things like that.
And yes, I introduced him to the cards.
Yeah, she gave me a deck of cards, and I'm just, you know, whatever. But what I found was that on these cards, I've never pulled a negative deck for myself. Never once.
No, negative. Well, you know, I mean, I think at the time when you were doing this, you had gotten out of a
20-year bullshit relationship.
Exactly. You had hit.
Child.
You had hit the bottom.
I wasn't at the bottom, though.
Well, I think you were in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying you were, you know, out here in the gutter or something like that. I'm just saying you were at the bottom, that you would tolerate.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true. I wouldn't tolerate any more negative. It's like, you're just done. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm throwing this fucking negative shit away.
Yeah.
I'm going to change things.
And at the time, too, when I was reading these cards, I mean, I literally from January, because as soon as I got divorced, as soon as my paperwork went through, I got attacked by this, I don't know, demon chick? What smoke shop chick, maybe? I'm going to give them all nicknames.
She was something. She was...
Did you ever meet her?
I never met her, but I remember talking about her, and I also remember, I think I talked to her, like...
On the phone?
Like, over phone, like a speaker or something like that. Yeah. I don't think I met her.
She was fun and happy until she wasn't.
Yeah, it was really weird because, like, she was one thing and then flip a switch and it was something else. Well, and you're just like,
the day I got my divorce. So in Arkansas, when you get a divorce, you have to wait 30 days to get it for it to go into effect. And after that 30 days, and you're officially divorced.
Yeah, you go to court and then it's 30 days and boom.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, done.
And so she literally, it was, we weren't really speaking right at that point either. We had a little bit of a falling out for a second and then came back together. But literally the day that my divorce was 30 days, she was here at my house, up my ass. Right?
Yeah.
And she would not come over to the house or do anything with me until then. And then from then, which was September, I think.
Oh, I don't know. You were dating her when
you came back around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably end of September all the way until February.
January.
She was here all the time and she was mostly naked all the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's been 20 years. For the past 10 years, I hadn't gotten any, you know, because basically I was living with my sister. I wasn't going to, you know, I completely lost all interest 10 years prior. So she's over here all the time. But after, as soon as, and then she broke up and she said she's not going to talk to me anymore, which screwed me up. And what I had taken my energy from the divorce and muted it and then put it on her. So when she left,
it was just like being dealt the same hand again. It's just like, you're not doing.
Yeah.
It was, to me, it's kind of like the universe saying, you don't want to go down this road again. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, and mostly I was just, you know, I was just having sex, to be honest with you.
You had feelings there. But,
I had some feelings because she was, you know, she was only 29. I was 40. Whatever, I was born in 73.
But you were so burned out anyway.
Yeah, I was burned out. I didn't give two shits. I cleaned up my house.
Yep.
I lost 60 pounds.
Yep.
And
you became a nicer person.
I became a nicer.
You changed. Sure? You so changed so much in your personality and just your whole overall attitude towards life and everything like that. I knew there was something wrong when you were still married. I never could quite put my finger on it, except that
slack,
I know.
Hand jobs mostly, I think.
But
just teasing. No,
I know why you're married. I can tell. You know, there's something wrong. And I never understood your ex. I never understood.
She's an idiot.
You know, here you were. You were waiting to dote on her and take her places and do things for her and all this stuff, and she would literally walk in and walk straight to her bedroom and shut the door.
Yeah,
that was it.
Or sit in the chair and watch TV. And
I mean, it was never hello. It was never. She never engaged.
No, never ever.
And then when you did try to engage with her, it was very short answers, if she answered you at all. And then she still turned around and walk into her bedroom.
Yeah, and I had to fight with her.
Yeah, you did. And but you know that chapter's over. But I can see. But after the divorce, it was such a big change.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you're saying that my ability to see the blue skies again may have interfered with my own ability to read, to pull a negative hand.
No, I think you had actually hit what you
were the level of evilness that I could possibly tolerate, and I was done with it.
Right. And you were done. You had gotten rid of all the negatives. You were working on every way to get rid of any negative that tried to come across your path.
Yeah.
You know, whether it would be a girlfriend or whatever, you know, I mean, because you did date a lot of women.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going with that.
I mean, because you did date a lot of women.
No, I dated 51 women. Mm-hmm. I went on 51 first dates.
But here's
after smoke shop chick.
Yeah. And you know,
so that's 52 maybe, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah. So you had 52 after, you know. But here's the deal, and this is what I noticed after, you know, smoke shop chick.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you know, one date, if they came off, you know, kinda weird or negative.
Oh, I had a list. I had 10 or 12 things, and if they violated more than three, I dumped them.
Exactly. There was no second date.
No, I wouldn't, or third, or whatever. If I found that they violated those standards that I had in my list, I was like, nope.
Yeah,
I apologize, and I would break up with them nicely. All of those women.
Yeah, you're always nice to all of them, as far as I know.
Friends for the most part. I mean, there might be
a couple that I think they kind of like.
Oh, roller derby chick lost her mind.
Oh, she did. Yeah, but that was
that's where I was getting at. See, when I would read the cards, and they were both spiritual, and they both wanted to learn how the two dominant women that dealt with cards. Everybody else was kind of like, I don't know. So I'm just going to talk about these two.
Okay.
I can't use that name. So it's Metal Chick.
Metal Chick, okay.
Which is the one with the dogs.
Yeah,
right,
gotcha.
Right before Andrea.
Okay, gotcha.
And then Roller Derby Chick.
Yep.
Who, ironically, I was dating Roller Derby Chick and Metal Chick at the same time.
Yes, you were.
And I told them both. I'm dating other people, and I actually told them their names. Friday night, I was hanging out with Roller Derby Chick, and Saturday night, I was hanging out with Metal Chick.
Yep.
And Sunday night, I was going on another first date.
Yep.
Because nobody wanted to commit. Okay, you don't want to commit? I'm done. I'm going to keep trucking, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't violate my terms. Neither one of those ladies.
And they just didn't.
Roller Derby Chick and I just weren't going to make it, man. And it just wasn't going to happen. And then there was a couple of personal issues, and I'm going to save those for no podcast because I don't want to embarrass Metal Chick because she's a lovely woman. I like her. If it was appropriate for me to stay friends with her, I would. But it's not appropriate for me to stay friends with her.
Yeah.
Because it's just not. I mean,
disrespectful.
Disrespectful to Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to do that because Andrea is a good lady and I've been dating her. I've been with her for a year.
Yeah. And you've been so happy and I've been so happy for you. And I still haven't met Andrea and I hope to meet her very, very soon.
Yeah. Well, offline, I'll tell you bunch of stories on that. I don't want to spread that doesn't count now. Okay. But anyway, so when I'm dating these ladies, acceptable to it, if they're open minded enough to talk about a tarot card reading, because you introduced it to me, and I'm just horsing around with thinking this is so silly and dumb, but I never pulled a negative reading for me.
No, you never did.
And I always pulled positive readings for Metal Chick. They weren't always positive, but they were mostly positive. And I just chalked that up to being, you know, happenstance. You pull a card, it's random. There's some randomness has to be in there. I mean, you have to look at it from the math. I'm looking at it from one side, you look at it from the other. That's where we have the conversations about. That's right. Why we're having a conversation. But every time I read for Roller Derby Chick, every time, no matter what, even if I was happy with her and we were having a great time, her read was negative. 100% negative.
Sometimes I find that, and I'm not going to say these readings weren't accurate because I didn't get to see the content of the reads and I didn't, you know, I don't know.
I was doing my best to interpret it through a book.
Okay. Yeah. So. Well, and that's the best way to do it. That's how all tarot readers learn. But then after a while you start going off, taking a look and you start seeing a pattern and sometimes an image will pop out a little bit more than someplace else. And, you know, there's a case where, you know, I've seen, you know, it was a minor arcana card, and, you know, didn't really mean a whole lot, in the way of past reads that I had done on for people.
Okay.
Or even for myself. And it was like kind of like a hiccup. It's like, okay, whatever.
I don't think you ever did a negative reading on me either when you read for me.
No, I think I had some cautionary tales though for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there were some, you know, you've got to know that, you know, some people like to, they'll either read them all upright or they'll read them upright and then reversed.
Yeah, for me, I like to read them with, they come in upside down, they mean the opposite.
Right, exactly.
I like that because that just gives it a little bit more nuance. Whether right. it's true or not, I don't know.
Well, I've always looked at it as, you know, I actually learned on the Thoth Tarot method. And you take, actually you have three cards there in each little space.
Okay.
And
I always just did the daily spread stuff with five yeah. cards. That's all yeah. I ever did because I'm like, no. It's,
you know, the ones I like to read are like 15 cards spread.
Yeah, I don't do that. So what's that lady from the early 2000s? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
It's been like somebody bopped.
But those are very detailed readings. Those get into the nuances. I mean, when you start pulling three cards for a particular thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you are getting advice. You're getting a kind of a cautionary tale or what could be cautionary.
I found that if you don't want to have a specific question because it's not going to answer a specific question. It needs to have a little bit more generality, at least whenever I read the cards.
Well, and you haven't been reading the cards long enough in order to.
I have done
tarot reads where the people are sitting there and they ask a specific question. And not only you could beat somebody over. I mean, it's just like the cards are just pinging you in the head. And
don't
it's
do this.
Like,
do this. You're an idiot.
Exactly. I mean, it is.
Well,
is
that's not what
very,
you mean.
It's a very on point, very direct.
Yeah.
And, you know, that person would never. I'm telling you, you got somebody in your life that's going to try to screw you over, okay? I mean, this is what the damn card says. And it is validated by these three cards over here. Now, I mean, and this is how a real tarot reader who has real experience from reading the cards is going to be able to see. They're going to be able to do the full layout. They're going to go, okay, there, you know. Before they ever look at anything, they're going to be looking at these cards and like going, okay, I get it. Okay, I got it. And then they're going to tell, you know,
yeah.
whether they still have to look at a book sometimes to kind of get some of the nuances, because I still do. And I mean, I have been reading, well, let's validate this.
What?
I have been reading tarot cards.
We don't validate here. You have to pay for your own parking.
I have been reading tarot cards since I was 9 years old. That's when I started.
Well, and so we're into the podcast pretty deep, mm-hmm. and we probably need to really
get, let's get into some of
yeah,
these
let's,
cards.
Let's get past this. The cards, if you're not familiar with tarot cards have pictures on them. And they also have little suits and things like that. And then some of them have numbers on the like numbers or Roman numerals on
the top.
Your
playing cards come from the tarot deck.
Yes.
Or from the Italian card game.
Yes.
Okay. So if you ever have you ever played Gin Rummy or Spades or something
Jim
like
Rummy
that.
Or Gin
Rummy? Gin Rummy.
So Gin Rummy, I've never played with him. And I hope I don't ever play with him.
You probably don't want to.
No.
But Gin Rummy or Spades or something along those lines, Spades. You know, Go Fish. You are very familiar
what
with
about
those
Uno?
Cards. No, Uno's a whole different type of deck, but it's kind of similar.
Okay. I'm just screwing with you.
I know. But it is, I mean, but if you take a look at the Uno deck, it's kind of like based on the regular playing
card. Yeah,
card,
you can only do so much as numbers and
yeah,
colors.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
So anyway.
So kind of explain. So the first card that you have there.
I have is the Tower.
The Tower. So that one's an important one. So let's put that aside for a second. Let's get to the ones everybody's scared of, right? Let's do the big
most
deck.
People, a lot of people
well,
are scared
I know,
of that.
But the people who don't know what the hell that is. Aren't right. going to have a clue.
Right.
But the one that everybody knows, there's a bunch of them that everybody knows, and one of them
the
is
death
the death
card.
Card.
Yeah,
that's right,
the death card.
And I know this because you've taught me, and I've read enough on it. I knew this before I started dealing with tarot. because I'm a writer, I have to know something, or I can't write truthfully in my fictional stories. And to ask me truth in my fiction, so I knew this too. But the death card, for example, this one has a skeleton inside of a sheet of armor with. It's what it looks like to me. Looks
yeah,
like armor.
No, that's exactly what it is. It
and looks he's like- got a shield with the horse. Is that a unicorn? No.
No.
And he's got a flag, and the flag is black, and it's got some kind of rose something or something like that.
Yeah, something like Rosicrucian rose, I believe, or now something
these,
like that.
And one thing about these cards, whenever you see them, a lot of this flourish, like the skulls and the flowers and the colors, is more about the art than it is about the tarot.
Wrong.
Is that well? Some of them are. Some of them are some really them, flamboyant.
Yeah, some of them are very flamboyant.
Those are the ones I'm referring to.
Okay, some of them are very Some of them are very flamboyant, and they will put in a lot of symbols and in them, you know, astrology signs, planet signs, planetary signs, etc. And that's fine. And that is actually, if you you know, when you start taking a look at predictions, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people like those because they say, oh, you know, do you have an air sign or something? You know, because each, even the cards themselves will represent air, fire, water, or earth. And of course, that is, then you look at your basic zodiac signs and of course, you know, same elements. So most of these symbols, you know, what you have is the Rider-Waite deck.
Okay.
There are two different types of decks originally. That is the Rider-Waite, and but what became before Rider-Waite was the Thoth deck.
The Thoth?
Thoth. T-H-O-T-H.
Okay.
Okay. God, cool. Like the god Thoth, Egyptian. These were created by Aleister Crowley and his, was it Golden Dawn, I think, or anyway.
Was this in the 60s?
No, this is, we're talking Victorian.
Oh, okay.
We're
so
talking
1800s.
Yeah, 18 to 1900s. Okay. Yeah, turn of century. Last turn, or, you know, anyway, way back there. Over 100 years ago. So, and then, okay, then the people who created Rider-Waite, what's kind of funny is that they came way past Aleister. And they did have a little bit of correspondence, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
So, but the Rider-Waite, you know, is the one that really actually picked up on things. And of course, Aleister Crowley had a very sinister, reputation. And if
for
you
good
could,
or bad, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And that's something,
we're just talking
that's,
about the cards.
That's somebody we'll talk about later.
About the cards.
So, the Rider-Waite has, you know, so all of these cards that are based on the Rider-Waite are, have certain specific things, like death cards, always a skeleton, always has armor, always on a horse or with a horse, and is carrying a flag.
But does that mean that what's going to happen to you, this is what most people think, they either are really naive and think, oh, that means I'm going to die or someone around me going to die, which is not true.
It's,
I mean, that's just... We don't
it's not true. Okay, so here,
but
here's
a
the
lot
deal.
Of people think that, oh my God, something bad is going to happen.
Well, it depends on okay, it depends on what you consider bad.
But
death card means the end of something.
Yeah, that's all it really means.
That's it. That's it. It's either an end of a relationship, an end of a job, an end of a, you know, a cycle in your life.
Your Vaseline canister is empty.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean,
that's what you're asking about.
You know, your battery and your dildo has died and you got to replace it. I mean, it's, it means something has ended. Okay? It's finished. It's gone.
It's over.
It's dead.
And it could be a good thing that it's over.
It could
over.
Be a very good thing because, you know, like the old adage is, you know, one door closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
And I find that to be so true.
Right. So the death card, it just really means something's coming to an end.
Exactly.
What are the under, what are the couple things that, other things that it could mean? If there is anything, of course.
Well, I mean, it could mean that, okay, something should end.
We should have a COVID card. Just a card that just has COVID, big circle with the thing.
Yeah, Oh, you know, you got the fucking COVID card.
You know, I've got to be quarantined now.
Yes, yes, you've got to quarantine now. So let's, you know, I got
the COVID card, and then I got the, oh, I can't say that. Never mind.
Oh, there's so many things we can think of, but yep, we won't. So death could mean, you know, okay, so let's say you're writing a book or writing a novel, right? Yeah. And it's like all of a sudden he's like, this is not going anywhere. This is not going to work. And you just take out every paragraph you've written and throw it away. You hit the delete on your computer and you start all over again.
I would not suggest doing that. Everything you wrote, something's got to be good about it.
Well, you think, but you never know. But in this particular case, let's just say, I mean, you realize that.
My writer friends out there that are listening, I just wanted to make them.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of movies lately that should have died. But
I agree
didn't.
With that. I could make a better movie letting my left testicle direct it.
You've written better scripts than some of the things I've seen, you know, being filmed right now.
I can't get anybody to read them because everybody in Hollywood has a script and then five more.
It's like you need to go outside of Hollywood because they just keep redoing and redoing. Nobody's got a...
My God, they do. They literally just remake old movies. We can't think of anything new.
Well, yeah.
Because you're not buying anything.
They're trying to outdo the person who did an original thing, and they change it here and there, try to tweak it and try to make it better.
Movies are about culture, and you can't take something from the 80s culture and inject it into today's culture and expect it to hit. It's not going to work.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
So with a death card, you need to be, first of all, open to change.
Yeah.
Whether you like the change or not.
You can't be afraid of it.
No, you cannot be afraid of it, even though most of us dislike change like me. I dislike change. I like my routines. I'm comfortable with my routines.
Now, this card is a major arcana.
Major arcana.
And it's got like a number on top of it. What does that number symbolize?
Okay, so the number just means what part. Okay, so the tarot deck.
So what is a major arcana?
Okay, well, the major arcana.
I know.
Kind of like a Trump card.
A Trump card?
Yeah, kind of like a Trump card. It's kind of like,
is that what he does? He gives mean tweets?
No. So you've got. No, they don't mean. Okay, so the major
cards
arcana,
can't tweet,
they
but
do
if it
not
could,
tweet.
It might do that because it is a Trump card.
Right. So you've got 21 major arcana cards. And when you get a major arcana card, that means something definitely is happening. I mean, it's a strong card.
I got an entire hand with nothing but major arcana cards.
It happens. But it means that these are, you know, each card is very impactful and there is a reason. And if you follow the major arcana cards, it actually tells a story. You start with a fool and then you end with the world.
Now, so the question is it has, some of these have numbers, like this has the number, what is that, 24? It says 16 on the top of that one.
Right.
And 15 on that one. And then whatever, that gets too far away.
13.
So 13?
Mm-hmm.
13's a lucky number, though.
I've always thought 13 was lucky.
Yeah. I was born on the 13th. So
I've always thought 13
everyone
was lucky.
Here is more better because I was born. And that's the 13.
No, there you go.
I'm just screwing around, of course. But anyway. So what are the numbers...
numbers mean is that's the position, the story that the fool is following.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you got to remember that the fool is a new kid
so
on the block.
What if you draw,
and, you know,
your first card is a 13 and your fifth card is a 9? I don't even know if there's a 9. So
there
what
is
if,
a 9.
Does
in
that
the
matter?
No, I mean no. The numbers on top don't matter.
Not really. They're just more of a reference.
That's a reference to looking in the book, see what the heck that means.
So the death card is really just about change.
Change. Something ending. Something's ending, like a, you know, partnership's ending. Maybe, you know.
My gout is ending.
That would be good. That would
be nice.
You know, it's an ending. And, of course, with all endings, something new is going to be available. I mean, well, with something ending, you can go try something new.
Well, if something ends in your life, that allows space, and this is just psychology. If something ends in your life and it's gone, that allows space for something new to come in, and you can let just the negative in, or you can choose to let the positive in
exactly.
and kick the negative out. So it's very possible that an end allows for a vacuum of power, basically,
right?
That allows you to move into something that you want to do.
Exactly.
And some people wallow in their sadness, and that consumes them. But what happens? Your sadness then it expands and fills that empty place.
Exactly.
Or you can go happy. Beat the sadness back and fill that empty place with happiness and, you know,
and sometimes, it is difficult, and it's going to be a journey just to get back to that happy place.
Yeah.
But
some things are easier than bad. So the next one that everybody hates, and especially the Baptists, because we're here in Northwest Arkansas with
the Bible Belt,
the belt of Baptists, the Baptist belt,
the Bible Belt,
where they whip you with it if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So the next one is the devil, and he's got a pentagram. He's got big old horns. He's got a star on his forehead. He's wearing a helmet. He's standing in fire, and it's all red and orange, right? And
right, yellow. Right.
And that's what the card looks like. And the number at the top of it is 10 or 15. I mean, 15.
Devil. 15.
So what does the devil devil bad?
Well, the devil talks about addictions, and you feel helpless in to change the situation, or you're in a controlling relationship, or you're being manipulated by a boss or maybe the company that you're working.
Does it mean that the devil is coming down to inhabit your shoe and make you kick people on randomly?
No.
So it's not actually meaning that the devil is here.
It's talking more of enslavement by other people or enslavement of yourself. I mean, you can enslave yourself.
What I was talking about a minute ago, when you let sadness take over and let it fill that gap, you basically enslave yourself because it's a negative. It's a positive feedback loop. You feel bad because something bad happened, and because you feel bad, you stay at home and eat Cheetos and, you know, masturbate to really bad porn. You wake up the next day and you're like, oh God, I feel bad. And you feel like, oh, if I eat more Cheetos and masturbate more porn, I'll feel better. And it just goes,
it just goes downhill. Yeah. So,
of course,
you know,
I'm just being stupid, but
then they replace the Cheetos with a blow up doll with one of those big mouths.
Well, it's like that one guy who went to the doctor and he says, my wife's been gone for a week and I don't understand. My penis has turned orange. And the doctor's like, what have you been doing? It says, I don't know. It's just sitting at home eating Cheetos and watching porn.
There you go. Turned orange. I'm surprised he didn't say it was crusty, too.
It's crusty? No. If he had a dog, it wouldn't be orange. The dog would be like, Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly.
Gross. That would happen if it was peanut butter. I'm sorry.
Cheetos or peanut butter depends on your dog's taste. You know.
One thing you don't want licking that is a cat.
Oh, my God. I have a chihuahua now, and he'll sit there, and he'll just lick my face, and all this is like, okay, it's real big, you know, it's just sloppy, and it's like, okay, go away, my face is wet.
I'm really creeped out now.
But when my cat, I used to have this great big huge half Maine Coon cat, and I loved it.
They don't have tails.
And no, he does. You're thinking Manx.
Oh, Manx. Sorry.
Yeah. No, he was Maine Coon. Big difference. But anyway, he's like 10 pounds heavier than any other regular cat out there.
They're the ones that are almost like bobcats.
Yeah, they're just huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, he was huge.
They eat chihuahuas.
Yeah, they can. they might eat a pit bull. But anyway, he would sit there and he'd just like, oh, mama, you're home. And he'd jump in my lap and he'd start licking my face. Well, you know, after 1, 2, 3 licks, you know, kind of like the owl with a tootsie pot roll. Okay, you've gotten to the center of my face.
How did we get on a tangent on licking cats?
Because we're talking about orange
genitals?
Peepees. Yeah.
Orange genitalia?
Yeah, orange peepees.
So, but the orange peepees? Really?
Well, it was a peepee.
What are you, two? Anyway,
so I have a grandson at home, okay?
He ain't gonna listen to this shit.
No, I know, but it's just You know, that's the kind of vernacular that goes around the house. You know, so don't show your pee-pee. Pull up your pants. Don't show your pee-pee.
If you say that, if somebody, one of the chicks I was dating said that to me, I'd be like, you got to go. You just got to go.
Exactly. No,
I'm adding something new to my list. You can't call it a pee-pee. You've got to go.
You can call it George, but you can't call it
pee-pee.
You can
call it George.
Huh?
You can't call it George.
Can't call it George?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
It's the big fig.
I will never eat another fig Newton in my life.
Now, you know what? That's probably a good thing. So the devil, it moving it back.
Fig bar. I'll never eat another fig bar.
No, let's just stop now while we're behind.
So yeah. So the devil is really, you know, somebody has imposed something upon you and you've become enslaved to that. You feel you cannot escape it. And it could even be an addiction you have imposed upon yourself. It doesn't matter.
I'm addicted to pizza.
What?
I'm addicted to pizza.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but you can quit the pizza. You can quit that addiction. You quit calling a goddamn delivery place and to have them deliver the damn shit. Here's the point.
But I just go pick it up then.
But no, the devil's not going to come down here and inhabit your body and you know somebody needs to perform an exorcism. Yeah. That's not the case. That's not what it means at all.
All right. So now we've got two other cards here. And we're going to save this one for last because you seem to be... It seems to me that this card means a lot to you. So I want to do this one first, and I'll let you describe this one this time.
Okay, so we've got the Eight of Cups.
You
got
to get right there in the microphone.
You have the Eight of Cups.
Well, you know, you got to tell them what it looks like because it's different.
Okay, so, you know, you got a guy standing there with his little walking stick, and he's looking at the moon and the hills, etc.
I never found a Cups card to be that great.
Actually, this is really a good deck. This is just really a good deck. I like this deck.
Okay.
Because it is colorful. It's not bland, you know?
Oh, okay.
But anyway, he's looking at...
It's the art portion of it.
Yeah, I do like this. Okay. So, you know, he's looking away from it. You know, there are three cups down on the ground. There's five of them. They're standing up. You know, but he's got his back turned on these, yeah. You know? So let's take a look at what the basic meaning of this is. And so we'll kind of interpret, you know, the picture. Okay. So abandonment. Okay. So
that's this card.
Yes. So
what is it? The Eight of Cups?
Eight of Cups.
Yeah.
Okay. So it represents the emotional investment given previously. And, but you've now turned your back on the situation and you're walking away from it.
So that could go well with the devil.
Oh yeah, very much
the
so.
Devil
it's
and
like,
death would be a great card.
Oh
to pull.
Yeah, oh yeah. These three together, you know, especially
devil,
if
death and the Eight of Cups is a good card.
Those are good cards together, especially if you know that you're in this toxic work environment. You've hit this
Your
the glass
is
ceiling.
The shit you know? Out of you, you know, and you decided.
Yeah,
had
something.
Enough.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you know, and he's. You know, taking out a lot more fees because gas prices have gone up.
Yeah. Biden's got COVID, by the way.
He what?
He's got COVID.
And how did we know this?
They said it on Fox News and CNBC.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Who cares?
Sure.
Where's the COVID card?
I don't know. I know he was vaccinated. You know he was vaccinated for that stuff. Do the vaccines work?
They work for me.
That's a whole different...
Since I got my pneumonia shot... I used to get pneumonia 3 times a year. Since I got my pneumonia shot about 10 years ago, started getting it about every 2 years, I haven't got pneumonia since. And ever since I was a child, I got it 2-3 times a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the vaccines do work. It's just some work better than others.
No, I'm just, you know, some of the... I've been kind of scared because I do have underlying health issues.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Eight of Cups.
So the Eight of Cups. So yeah, you've just, you know, it's like I give up on this. Okay, so.
What if you were asking a question about your significant other and you get the Eight of Cups?
Well, then you know, let's say your significant other doesn't compliment you, doesn't want to, you know, you try to start to kiss them, they pull away. You know, they never want to cuddle anymore. They don't want to be intimate anymore.
They make you pull out all the time.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think of things like that because I've had everything taken out because of cancer. But anyway, so I can't have children. anymore.
I don't have any kids, so there's that.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, it just depends, you know, whatever. Or maybe they're abusive to you. And, you know, there is a syndrome where women who are abused will stay in a relationship because they just know nothing else.
Well, then some women actually like it. I mean,
well, I don't think they like it. They don't.
Exists, and so we can't just write it off.
No, but I would say the majority of the women have been mentally and emotionally conditioned over years, and especially going into the relationship with a low self-esteem.
If you pull this card and you're asking about your significant other who's kind of being cold, does that mean would it be correct to interpret this card as they've walked away from you?
Well, they've walked away, or maybe it's time for you to walk away.
It depends on the other cards.
Yeah, it depends on the other cards around it.
Okay, that's cool. So
here you got the devil, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so who's causing the problems here? The devil, and it comes under your significant other.
Yeah.
Well, okay, he's imposing on you, or she.
Beat up just as exactly much as women.
They do.
Men don't get hurt because they're bigger than the women, and they just take it and don't tell anybody.
Exactly. And I actually know some men who are like that.
Yep.
But here, I mean, right here, excuse me.
Yeah. Right here.
Right here. So the devil comes under significant other. Then, you know, what is he, you know, enslaving you with? Is he enslaving you with because he beats you, or because he belittles you,
or his penis is really small and you really want a bigger one?
No,
you don't think so?
No.
Okay.
No.
I tried. I mean,
not it. they don't want to be intimate. They don't want to listen to.
That would be the penis being, you know, too small. I mean, if they can't get it.
No, down. It is not, Paul. No, Paul, that is not it. Okay. And if you got that, and you got that card under your significant other, and then, of course, you got the death card.
And then turn your back on card, which is the Eight of Cups.
Right. So, yeah, it sounds kind of like your significant other is turning their back on you. However, if this comes under the placement in the read for advice.
Yeah.
It's going to tell you.
The read has different advice. So the one I was using, the number one was works, mm-hmm. two was home, three mm-hmm. was the unexpected, four was my role, and five was the outcome, mm-hmm. the proposed outcome. It could change because once you read the cards, it's like Schrodinger's cat, right? Ooh. Is that right? Was it Schrodinger? No, it was.
Are you talking about Pavlov's dog?
No, Pavlov's dog is the salivating. But I'm talking about the one, is the cat in there or is it not in there? Is it dead or is it alive? Well, you don't know till you look. But if you didn't look, would it have been alive? You don't know.
Exactly.
So the problem is that the outcome, once you get the read, in my opinion, once you get the read, then the outcome has a 50% chance of not happening.
Well,
you change it at that point.
Well, here's the deal. The cards are only going to give you advice.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will tell you what's going to happen, but then it's still up to you what you do.
Yeah, you can change it.
You can change it to a certain extent, yes.
Fate is what we make.
Fate is not what we make. I mean, I do believe that there's a certain amount of fate that interacts in our lives. However,
attributed to luck.
Could be attributed to a lot of things. Or it could be attributed to, you know, harpies. I don't know.
Herpes?
Harpies.
Yeah, attributed to herpes?
H-A-R-P-I-E-S. Harpies.
You know, keep it under control anyway.
God, yeah, harpies, or so, the fates. That's who they call them. The fates. You know, they weave your future together.
But the one card that has you most concerned, that's why I kept it to the end, is what suit is this in?
That's a major arcana.
So it's a major arcana card, mm-hmm. right? Which means that it's not in a suit. It's got its own place in the deck.
Yep.
And it if you draw this card, it has more significance than the other cards.
Not necessarily.
But it can.
It can.
You would worry about it more than
depending on its placement. Okay. Because, you know, with all these cards, this card could represent something that's happened before.
Yeah.
You know, Or it could actually happen after you have this reading. It's like somebody could be warning you about this.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, or this has already taken place.
So what is the tower? Kind of explain it. It's give us a little description.
The tower is an exploding tower.
It's falling over.
Yeah, falling over and people, you know, is on fire.
Is there people in there that are on fire?
No, but they're falling out.
Oh, they're falling out of it. Yeah. I see that.
And the tower signifies major change.
Major change. So if you get major that change. And the devil, you got it, or that and not that and death, then that could be a problem.
No, not really. I mean, no, because death is a sudden ending of something. The tower, everything's exploding. It's going to be a little bit of chaotic mess there.
Okay, so
but it's not something you can't recover from.
Okay,
you know, of course that depends on.
Unless you get the COVID card.
Yeah, unless you get the COVID card, then you could be screwed. And by the way, we do not know what the COVID card looks like.
It's a circle with little like sucker fingers things coming out of it.
Do we actually have a deck with a COVID card in it?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
But I would like to see one. That would be cool. I would just like buy a bunch of decks and just give out the COVID card.
Yeah, there we go. Here, you got the COVID card. You're going to die. No. You're going to put it on a ventilator.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel a thing, but you got COVID.
Breathe down. You'll have the stigma.
You'll have the stigma because you've had COVID. Stigmata? Stigma. Not stigmata, no. They don't bleed out their hands and their feet.
It's a stigma. Is that the Nissan or is it a Toyota? I can't remember.
It's neither.
Okay. Anyway, so the tower. Tell me about the tower.
So the tower means change. And so many of us are like, oh God, and it could be chaotic and it could be, you know. And so we worry about this change.
Yeah.
And it's like, because, and why do we worry about change? Because we don't like change.
It's true. Don't like change. Unless, of course, you know, it's your underwear.
Human beings, for the most part, do not like change.
I don't know. I like change. You give me a bag of change, I'm going to be happy.
No, that's not the change we're talking about, Paul.
Okay.
We don't always like, you know, if we're happy where we're at, we're happy with our routines, we're happy with our job, we're happy with our relationship. If we're happy, why change anything?
True.
Okay.
But nothing stays the same. It always changes.
No, it's always changing. Yeah, exactly. But people see this and they think their world's coming to an end. And it's like, no, it's not coming to an end.
That's right. It's not coming to an end. It's just saying something's going to change.
Yeah, you're either getting, you're either getting out of a crappy relationship or marriage, or you're getting out of a crappy
be even more positive than that, and that the change is that somebody...
Or the change is that...
Somebody stole your car, you can buy a new one.
Exactly, because the insurance company's going to pay off like triple what your car was worth.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Or, let's say, a new company's buying your old company that you're with, and you don't know this yet, but guess what? They're going to give you a promotion and a raise.
Or they're going to move you across the country to do something even better because
they have...
You know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it could be negative, it could be positive.
It depends on what...
And it also depends on the other cards.
Exactly. Exactly. And yes, you can change your fate. You can change your future. You can change a lot of things.
Yeah. And it's nothing to be scared of, I don't think.
No, you just got to take, you got to be positive. You got to put energy in everything you got to do.
Yeah.
You've got to work at everything you do. Just because you get a tarot read that says, oh, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be loved, I'm blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't mean you're going to. Because then you get a big head about yourself and ruin it.
Well, no, here's the deal. What have you put forth to receive that?
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, just because it says you're going to do this. I mean, okay, it says you're going to win the lottery. Well, you won't if you don't buy the ticket.
That's right.
So, every action has a equal and...
Equal and opposite? No, not
no,
opposite.
No, an equal reaction.
Yeah, it's how much energy you put into it. It generally means it's just like the same thing. I tell people all the time: you watch what you consume, what you listen to, what you read, the people you hang out with, because garbage in means garbage out.
Yeah,
and it's the same as in life. You got to find the positive, stick with the positive, and forget that crap and do what you want to do, feel how you want to feel. And if you if you look at a tarot read in a negative light, it's going to be negative.
It can be very negative.
And I think that maybe that's, and this is where I became like, oh my God, maybe there's, it may not be everything to it, but maybe there's something going on here.
Well,
because whenever me, I say, yeah, bad stuff happens, but that doesn't mean it's going to rule me, because I've been through a lot worse.
Yeah.
And whatever, it tomorrow, as soon as it's over, everything's beautiful again.
Yeah. So this is how I kind of feel about the tarot, okay?
Okay.
Or any tool so for...
In synopsis, so we can...
Yeah. So we're at the end of this.
Yeah.
So as any tool, whether it be the tarot, Ouija, pendulum, whatever...
Yeah.
We have a lot of tools for divinity.
I know a lot of tools, too.
For telling the future or divinity. I never can say that word.
Divinity? Divination?
Yeah, there you go.
Divination?
Yeah, divination.
Okay, Harry Potter.
I can never say that word. It's awful. And yeah, look what I do. Anyway.
What'd you draw?
I haven't dropped anything.
Well, you said you drew.
Anyway.
She's giving me the up yours hand.
Yes. Speak to the hand.
Speak to the hand.
Speak to the hand. No. Okay. So as with anything... when you deal with the cards.
Yeah.
And whether you're doing the card, usually I always let somebody else shuffle the cards.
Right.
I want their energy in the cards.
If it's their read.
Yes. Yes.
If it's your read, you shuffle your own cards.
Exactly. And that way the cards become imbued with their, or saturated with their energy, their intent, or cooties. Whatever. Cooties. And
hopefully not herpes.
Yeah, hopefully not herpes. And then you let them. Now you know, you see a lot of people. They get back the deck, then they cut it again, and then they start flipping out cards. No,
they can't flip out the cards.
No, they can't flip out the cards, and they can't shuffle the deck for you again once you've already done that.
So yeah, once you shuffle the cards, they can't shuffle the cards.
And this is me, and everybody does it a little bit differently.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. The focus needs to be on the person the reading's for, not for the person who's reading it.
Now, when you're reading for somebody online, a whole different ballgame, because you have to pick up on their energy online.
You have to channel your feelings about what they're doing.
You can't channel your feelings. You got to channel theirs.
Well, that's what I meant. I just said it backwards.
But you can actually, you know... if you're receptive to other people's energy, then you can do this.
Read online. In closing, the one thing that I want to know, how can you tell when the person who's given you a reading, especially online, is a scam artist and doesn't know what the hell they're doing? And just a couple of sentences.
If they only do it over messaging, I'd be wary, unless you really know these people.
Yeah, you'd have to actually know they're real, not a bot.
I would definitely do it over a video chat.
Okay.
Because that way they can show you the cards.
Should they see you?
They should see.
A lot of times you go to TikTok and they're doing readings on there.
Well, yeah, they do readings on TikTok, but they're trying to show you the cards.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are general reads.
They're just responding to the characters on a screen. They don't even know who they're talking to.
No, and that's called a general read. That's kind of like the general. Okay, so I'm going to do
grain of salt read.
I'm going to pull a card for humanity today, and let's say
it's Corona card.
And let's say I pick the Nine of Pentacles. That's not the Corona card. Okay. That just means you're coming close to really hitting the guy, you know, fortune that you're wanting. Or your goal in business or whatever money.
Don't hit anyone. That's all I can say.
No, don't hit anybody.
Squirrel.
I'm going to kill that damn squirrel. And of course, you know, when they sit there and they tell you, let's say you're in some sort of metaphysical or spiritual room on Facebook or someplace else, and they say, and, you know, somebody's trying to do a positive affirmation, and you like affirm or yes or thank you, whatever, and you know.
Yeah, magic eight ball in it.
Yeah, exactly. And then they say, message me as soon as possible. Okay. That's probably going to be a scam, because first thing they're going to do is ask you for money.
That's cash. Venmo me $50.
Or they're going to tell you that they're going to send you so much cash if you send them a service fee.
Well, you know
that's
what?
That's a new one that's coming up now.
You know what? The thing I've always been upset about is that there is a Rwandan prince somewhere crying because he had to burn all of his money.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
That's very sad.
So, Stephanie, last thing you want to say to anybody, your last thoughts, what do you think?
You know, if you want to try the tarot, try it.
Is it going to inhabit you with an evil demon, though?
No. No.
You sure?
I don't believe in the devil, so no, it's not going to.
All right, fair enough. You know, Jews don't have a devil either.
No, they don't. Non-part Jews.
Yeah. And there's really, I didn't know that until I'm dating.
The devil is really a medieval
Christianity kind of thing.
Yeah, it actually comes from medieval times, so yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah, there's a devil. I mean, it's in the New Testament.
There are bad beings out there. Don't get me wrong. There are bad beings or entities out there, especially when you start to. But they're not going to come. I mean, they're not going to come and inhabit your tarot cards. No.
Yeah.
They're not going to inhabit your Ouija cards. I would say be careful with not Ouija cards, but Ouija board. Always be careful with one of those because you can, you do have some.
Ouija board is made by Parker, and it's not even real.
But it still can be used as a tool. Okay?
Yeah.
A pendulum is a chain with a pointer at the end. Like a little bobber that they would use for
upside
surfing.
Upside down, it's a the deal you keep time with on your piano.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, no, it's not because it's not a chain.
Never mind.
But, yeah, you're kind of right about the shape and everything. if you're worried about some being coming in and inhabiting your space or your tools or whatever... You know, you do protection spell. Those are very simple.
And you know what? I think I have a spirit that protects me because after Tobacco Shop Chick broke up, I really wanted to get her out of my house because she went so far as put a pentacle and a demon on her arm, tattooed it on her arm. And she had, and she says she's atheist, but then she says she's a humanist, then she says she's a Satanist, and it's like she can't make up her mind. But so I just wanted that to go away, right? So,
right.
And Donald, he believes in this stuff. He does this. So we bought some sage, and we went around and saged it. And I didn't know if it worked or not. And I said, Donald, you believe in this stuff more than I do. Why don't you do it? And
sorry about that. I need to turn the phone off from now.
And I said, Donald. You know, I don't really believe in this stuff, so why don't you do it? And so he did it, and guess what? My house felt cold and empty, and my luck kind of turned, and everything kind of got bad for about 4 months. And then it warmed back up, and it's like whatever we ran off with the sage was actually a positive being.
Well, and you can always invite them back.
Well, if you don't know who they are,
well, it doesn't matter because they're going to know you because they're going to see your energy. They're going to feel your energy.
I'm a Christian. I'm a Missouri Synod Lutheran, but I'm also very much a believer in Christianity, and which is almost Jewish. If you really consider it, the Christians should be doing what the Jews do. And they shouldn't be forsaking those things, but we'll talk about that somewhere else. So maybe it was for me the Holy Spirit that was running around because I do believe in some metaphysical.
Well, you're not
going to
run the Holy Spirit, I don't think, off, you know.
Well, I don't think so either.
I don't think you're a running entity or God, and I'll say the Holy Spirit's a
well,
God.
There are other gods. It does not say in the Bible there are no other gods.
No, there
it
are
says,
other gods.
Have no other gods.
Here's the deal.
Very but,
well,
those terms.
And, yeah, well, Yahweh picked the Jews. That's why. You know, he picked the Jews. Nobody else. No, none of the other gods did, but the Yahweh did. He says,
They're his chosen people, it says right there in the Torah.
And the Jews didn't choose them. He chose them. Yeah. You know, it was, so yeah.
So, but anyway, so you don't think that you're going to have to be, just by having the cards, you're going to invite something evil into your life?
No. And, you know, and here's the deal. Everybody has good and bad in them. When we pass... I honestly feel we still have that good or bad in us. I think some of the dark entities are probably confused spirits for the most part, and, or at least that's how it's been described.
Very
by
low
some
IQ
of the,
spirits, maybe.
No, that's how it's been surprised. That's how it's been described by some of the mediums who can actually speak to them or connect with them, and there is a bad presence. Yeah. I am not one of these people that believe, everything is white or everything is black.
It's very racist.
I'm very gray.
Really? You know, everything, you are a little gray. I don't think you're very gray. I mean, you just some color in your hair.
It's more silver than anything than gray. Mm-hmm. is everything is a duality or a dual existence.
Is a dual?
Well, okay. So duality.
Who gets to choose? Pistols or knives?
I guess it depends on which you prefer.
So but everything is duality, good and bad.
Okay,
yin and yang. It's an age-old thing.
Exactly.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think about talking about this stuff and putting it out there for people?
Well, I think we need to do it. I think people need to be educated.
Yeah.
I keep seeing where, you know, you hear all these, you know, a lot of these Christians, oh, we're being persecuted against them, blah, 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 in the United States. I'm like, where? When?
Some of them are.
You know, well,
depends on where you're at, too.
I'm just like, okay, well, where is this at? Why
is
this going on?
It's tough to be a Missouri Synod Lutheran because we call ourselves Catholics. But we're persecuted on both ends because the people who know Baptists think that we're Baptists and we're not. I mean, I keep trying to tell people, what do you get when you get four Lutherans together? You get a fifth. Right. So that's an age old joke, and stereotypes exist for a reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's some Christians do, but not all. And most of them are just closed minded individuals that really need to just be nicer.
But here in the United States, there isn't a national agenda to turn around and do away with the Christians.
Nah.
Okay. So, and that's.
We're not gathering them up, throwing them in camps.
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, anybody like me who believes differently.
Not anymore. Now, you used to be 15, 20 years ago, yes. Now, not so much. People really don't care so much anymore.
And
you're just. I mean, I get it where you're coming from. In the past, it's been a bad thing, and people persecute you just for having a different belief. But anymore, no one cares. Everybody's like,
well,
is that's
what
you want to do.
That's what you would think, but there are people that
no. There's
care.
Always going to be some asshole,
and you know, there are always you
there's
know.
There's going to be a Satanist somewhere that thinks everybody.
Well,
needs
you
to
know,
die
here's
too,
the thing:
so
the Satan
people.
And, you know, you don't even have a good idea of what a Satanist is, rather interesting. Actually,
no, I'm being facetious and bloviating, trying to get a rise out of you. Yes, I know that there's a difference, and it's not the same. And
are you getting a rise out of me?
Oh my God, I hope the fuck not. That's disgusting.
By the way, folks, I am 10 years older than Paul. I will be 58 this month, which I'm glad. I am an old crone, loving it.
You said it, not me.
I'm going. Hey, you know, we witches, we go through three phases. We go through maiden, mother, crone.
All you need to do is get a little bit of extra clothes, some makeup, and maybe dye your hair like completely white or completely black, and then go around Dixon Street, which is the place where all the bars are, and walk up to drunk people and go, "What you doing, little skinny?"
Oh God, okay. Talk about stereotyping. And actually, folks, if you do meet a modern day witch, chances are they will not be wearing a pentagram. Some do, some don't.
Probably just like everybody
we
else.
Will not be dressed as Endora on Bewitch, unless it's Halloween. And then
that's what I said. It's Halloween.
We're everyday people. We have kids. Yeah. We've got kitchen witchery.
Kitchen witchery. All right.
Is really kind of a fascinating.
Just don't do Clorox and bleach, or no Clorox and Windex. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Kills
at
everybody
all.
In the house.
Oh, of course it does. You better have those damn windows open or something like that. And you better have a really good reason, like cleaning up dead body film or something like that.
You know.
Of course, that's what the back 40s for.
So.
So I look forward to doing this again.
Okay, we'll come up with about a
other
different
stuff. We don't necessarily have to talk about witchcraft and all this other stuff.
No, we can
talk about other stuff. It doesn't matter to me. But it's interesting, and both of us can't shut up long enough to stop talking. So
no, we can't.
It works well for us to do a podcast.
It does.
Yes, it does.
Well, there's no dead air.
Well, there's dead air, but mostly that's, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out in the yard because that, you know, one of the squirrels died.
So. Oh.
Is that qualify as dead air? I don't know, but it smells like it.
So. No, it's not dead air. That's
it smells like it. I get it.
You know, it's probably more silent, though, so that may be considered dead air.
Silent but deadly?
Yeah, silent but smelly.
Anyway, so I am Paul G. Newton, right? You know this because you're listening to my podcast. And I'm going to start talking to just my friends, and we're going to talk about weird, stupid stuff. And I hope that you continue listening. And if you like what you're listening to, please leave a comment or give me a review on Apple iTunes. Share with your friends. And if you want to just make fun of me, that's cool too. Just listen.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.